Good morning, everybody. Well, what a blessing it is to hear these testimonies and to see them committing to the Lord and following, on the step, following Christ. God is active. If you have a Bible and you would like to follow with me, I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 through chapter 3, which takes 8 minutes. Before we do that, let us bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to witness your work of grace in people's lives that we just have seen. We are aware, Lord, that we're here to worship you, to think more highly of you. And it's you, Lord, that began a good work in us, and you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for that great, great hope. As we read your word, we ask you to open our hearts and our ears and our understanding, illuminated by your power, Holy Spirit, that we might hear your voice and that you would show us how to respond to these wonderful words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity, or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own self, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. The word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This letter, this is a letter of encouragement. It's a deeply emotionally loaded letter, a lot of warmth, very positive letter. And Paul apparently is aware that they were suffering persecution and difficulty and all kinds of things. And he wrote this to encourage them. There's some key words here that I want to just pause on. One is faith used. We sent Timothy to establish and exhort you in your faith. It's used five times here. He said, I have sent to learn about your faith for fear somehow that the tempter may have tempted you. And he uses it three more times, as you probably remember. And the word, this phrase used that way can refer to at least three things, sometimes four things. Sometimes it's looked upon as the content of truth upon which our faith rests, a body of truth. Sometimes it can mean almost our personal experience of it. But here, what the way he's using it is that I sent to find out about your faith really means how you're doing as a Christian living out the life of faith. He was concerned about that. As you are about me needing drinks of water. I love the movement in time. The first part, he's just giving a review of things that happened when they were there. He and the other itinerant evangelists, Silvanus and Timothy. And then he talks about the motivation. He's kind of telling that we came there not with some kind of false motive, but with true heart, God-given, right motivation. And then he realizes that they were driven out of town from Thessalonica, and then they went to Berea. They got driven out of town by the Jewish people that didn't want them there. And that they were up against a lot of hostility. You can't miss the fact that Paul knows this and is very concerned about the impact of the enemy of our souls on their way of life. And he's praying night and day, he says. That means continuously. And he's kind of apprehensive. I don't know if I should say worried, but he said, okay, we can't get back there. And I'm kind of public enemy number one. They're trying to kill me. So I've got to send the youngest member of our team here. This is Timothy. Might have been stronger. This is not a small journey. It's 120 miles or 220 miles, something like that. Take probably about a month to go there, do whatever he's supposed to do, gain the information he needed, and get back. So all this time, Paul is concerned. He's waiting. He sends one of their best men, Timothy, who he's maybe young, but he go and find out about their faith. In other words, their walk, their living out of what they say they believe. And he's wondering, did all this negative stuff happen? And now it's all in ashes and it crumbles. Oh, no. He's very concerned. He's very worried. He says, I could bear it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith. Now, we're not given all the details, but what we're given here in these few verses after he says, but now that Timothy has come, there's some key. And that's what I want to talk about. Because I'm concerned about us just hearing the word and say, good, we know all this stuff that happened there in Thessalonica, and Paul probably wrote this from Corinth and sent it. What about us? You know, we can read in Revelation letters that Jesus Christ sent to some churches. And we don't get that these days. We don't get a letter from an apostle or from the Lord Jesus with some angelic messenger. But Paul's concern, there's another key term here. Peirazo in Greek, but you don't need to hear that. He said, I was worried, perhaps somehow, for fear that somehow or other the tempter had tempted you. There's a noun there and a verb. Who that is, well, without question, Satan, the enemy of our souls, which he's already referenced in the first chapter. And you say, well, yeah, Well, I might just tell you that we also need to search our hearts. You say, what are you talking about, Neil? You're kind of treading on some thin ice here. This is going to get uncomfortable. I say, well, I'm trying to be faithful to this text. Paul was concerned that all the labor and all the evangelism and all the care that he did while he was there was torpedoed by the tempter. This word tempter is also used for trying something. It can be a positive trial and test that strengthens us and makes us stronger, or it can be very sinister to torpedo and undermine our faith. And this tempter has been about his business for a long, long time. And we are not given up to this because we're given the whole armor of God to live our lives victoriously. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, helmet of salvation, belt of truth on our feet, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're given this. Why? Because we need it. We're not great in ourselves. Paul knows that. And he says, Timothy has now come. So this obviously is the turning point of this little letter that he's writing, undoubtedly with, you know, it took a long time to write it. It took a lot longer to write it than it did for us to read it, I can tell you that. I was going to try to get to a fountain pen and see if I could write this out, but I couldn't find the little thing that goes inside of it. Anyway, the turning point bubbles over with joy. It's very positive. He just is so happy. He says, the good news of your faith and love is reported to you as you remember us kindly, and you long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. So what he's telling us here is by Timothy getting there, looking at them face to face and talking to him and going around and having whatever they drank there or whatever they ate, he realized these people are alive. Their faith is vibrant and healthy and alive. And what is he saying? They're full of faith and love. They remember us kindly. So we're comfortable. And if you are standing fast in the Lord, that's great. And then Paul just opens all the doors up and he says in verse 9, he says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy we feel for your sake before God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face. What's going on here is Paul is opening up the door of his heart and he's sharing with people what he's feeling, what he's thinking. He says, I miss you guys. This really is saying that there is a kind of mysterious solidarity in the body of Christ, where people can actually say, what happens to you matters to me. He's saying, I want to get back there and see you. Say, well, that's very clear, Neil. That's great. And well, they were itinerant evangelists. That kind of writing, that sort of thing, that's cool. But he says, well, we still want to get back there. I'm praying night and day to see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. He is concerned about what he calls your faith. You know, why are you hammering on this, Neil? Well, because our culture has succeeded in separating how we're doing spiritually. Is like, well, don't poke your nose into something, you know, don't ask me. And no, we should be so connected, so much solidarity, that how each of us are doing ought to matter to us. And you say, why are you saying this? Because I am very lacking in this. I would get very low marks. There are people here probably I don't know very well. How in the world can I know that? Unless we open up our lives to each other. There's a strong admonition here to live a certain way. as followers of Christ filled with love and faith and goodness and work and labor. He talks that way, doesn't he? And then he says, verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. At least we should ask ourselves, well, if they wrote us a letter from somewhere, you know, out in outer space and kind of analyzed, gave us a sort of a midterm grade here about how we were doing as a church, I hope it would be that their faith is robust. It is healthy. Look, they love each other. They know each other. They're helping each other. They work for each other. Right? Do we have a concern for each other, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before others? Do we have oneness and enthusiasm that bubbles over like this on this page here? Is that us? Are people drawn here because they feel the warmth, the sincere caring and concern that people have for each other's well-being, especially their spiritual well-being, their faith? That's what's on this page. See, Neil, you're meddling. I kind of know. But I'm going to give a quick illustration. May I? My wife and I and our kids were in the village, and our village house is just like that, but it's on a ridge. And sometimes weather blows in across for about 100 miles or so from the Gulf down there, and then there's big thunderstorms. And sometimes our house actually starts to crack, and the electricity is just, and we don't know why. And the pilots tell me, because you actually are inside a thunderhead cloud. And so I tell my kids, don't touch anything that's metal. Because right, just sit here on the couch while this goes. Well, one night, if this happens more than one night, we were all asleep. About 4 feet away from where we are in our bed is our kids in the bunk beds there, see? And in the middle of the night, one of these storms came in. And our house was in the middle of this thunderstorm. And it hit with like a big howitzer, a big cannon. Boom! I just thought, did I not brace this house enough? I was kind of dazed. Not Carol. She is like launched out of the bed, pew, like a rocket. She's across that 40 inches away, and she's comforting her kids. Why? She knows they're going to be terrified, right? They're going to say, where's mommy? Do we have care for each other so that we can respond like this letter of Paul that he sent with Timothy to tell whatever? I don't know. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are great and mighty. We're kind of feeble a lot of times, Lord, and some of our walk is truncated, kind of dialed down to more tolerable for us. Lord, give us boldness in you. Give us courage to live in a hostile world right out in the open. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.